You turn your Bibles with us to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 18.
Well,
and you find a scripture that God's led me to believe should come from my conversation with you this morning. It's a familiar text. I'm convinced, God is convinced me that there is fresh water in this old well here. Jeremiah chapter 18. Another time we stand up to proclaim your holy word. Father God, we know that you said your word would not return unto you void. Father God, you are the word wrapped in flesh, and we thank you. In the beginning were you, and was you, always was you, and in the future to be you. You are eternity. You're the ancient of days. So Father God, allow us to get excited about your word right now. Father God, let this word minister to us. Let it be a tailor-made, a rhema word, tailor-made, fit for our circumstance and situation. Father God, we cannot do it by ourselves. You give us clarity of understanding of your word, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask you for it. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Father God, deliver somebody through this word today. Set somebody free. Somebody struggling with themselves. And Father God, we don't want to struggle with ourselves. We want to be free in you. Because he who is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Father God, you said who you set free is free indeed. We're not bound by the law, not by man, but the institutions of this world. So Father God, we ask you to let us to walk by faith and not by sight. Give us a good time in your word today. And whatever the comments in this setting, oh Father God, whatever you speak to our hearts, speak to us, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. Jeremiah chapter 18. I read you from the New King James Version, beginning at the first verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Hang on somewhere in the fourth verse. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. I want to put a tag on this text. Why God won't let you go. You may take a seat in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. why God won't let you go. Lord have mercy. As I have found personally, and some of you have experienced, and others you have heard of, we are in the midst of an unprecedented epidemic of influenza. As you all know, more of us are contracting the flu, calling out from work, dealing with fevers, sore throats, congestion, headaches, aching bodies, buying NyQuil, vapor rubs, and whatever home remedy you got, you trying. I was watching the news and they were speaking about the spreading of the flu in different states around the nation. They begin to talk about ways you can help keep yourself healthy this flu season. Believe it or not, getting the flu shot is not the number one way of preventing the flu. There are those that still debate, is that a correct way to fight the flu? I'm just giving you what they say. Pastor or Mrs. Flu shot. But the number one recommendation of all those who deal with the flu and treat it is you must wash your hands. You must wash your hands. It is critically important that you wash your hands to prevent the spread of germs. I went to the doctor. She asked me, "Went to the VA, Larry, right before I got my flu shot. What kind of job you do, Pastor Clark?" I replied, "Well, I got several, all which require that I closely interact with people. I'm a people person. I like being, greeting, meeting, and getting in close quarters with people. I'm a people person. Now, if you have ever seen somebody extend a dirty hand to you, there's something unpleasant and unsettling, so turn off, about a dirty hand.
All right.
It is something that is unappealing about someone whose nails are dirty. Look at y'all down there looking at y'all hands. Can y'all wash before y'all get in here? I don't think I'm the only one in here that feels the same way. But there's something repulsive about a person with dirty hands. Y'all with me? But the irony of walking with God is you're walking with a God whose hands are always dirty.
All right, come on.
Help me something.
All right, we hear you.
Do I have to repeat myself? God's hands, Deacon Drake, are always dirty.
All right.
Some of you may get upset because your theology can't handle that. Because you only have a pristine, holy image of God. So allow me to argue my case that God's hands are always dirty. That is what God shows Jeremiah down at the potter's house. To understand what goes on in the book of Jeremiah, you have to know the context of the people of Israel at that time. Are y'all with me? For those of you that are Bible readers, you know after David comes Solomon. Right. And after Solomon comes Rehoboam. Rehoboam is responsible for the division of the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, under Rehoboam's leadership, 10 of the tribes of Israel secede from the nation and form the northern country called Israel, whose capital is Samaria. Two tribes from the southern region stayed put, and they call themselves Judah, and the capital is Jerusalem. So after Rehoboam, there are literally two nations, Israel and Judah. Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Walk with Pastor. Israel is led by a succession of kings that the Bible said were more wicked than their predecessors. These kings subsequently led the people away from God. As a result, in 730 BC, God allowed the Syrian army to conquer the northern tribes called Israel. But the south, Judah, the south, is ruled by the lineage and the heritage of David. The king on the throne is still one that bears David's bloodline. And because of God's promise, he's a promise-keeping God.
Amen.
What happens in Israel in the north does not happen to Judah in the south. Assyria cannot conquer Judah. Fast forward 200 years. The winds of disobedience that caused Israel to lose to Assyria has now blown swiftly into Judah. The people have rebelled against God, and disobedience runs the land. Disobedience runs the land. And the Bible says every man was doing what was right in his mind. That sound like us?
Yes,
if I think it's right, it's okay. I'm going to do who I want to do, be what I want to be, do anything I want to do, because it feels right.
All right. Amen.
As a result, in order to prevent them from the same destruction that Israel suffered at the hands of the Syrians, God begins to send prophets into Judah.
Uh-huh.
When God got covenant with you, you can be as ragged, low down, and dirty as you want. Don't acknowledge God, but he'll remember you. He'll give you every opportunity to get yourself right before you hit you upside your head with a holy brick.
Yeah.
I tell people I'd rather get God get my attention with a feather than a brick. With a word, here comes Jeremiah now. The people that rebel against God, disobedience runs the land. Y'all with me? Here comes Jeremiah with a popular or unwelcome word. One of those prophets was a brother called Jeremiah. He was not welcome with what he had to say. Jeremiah's prophecy was not like prophecy we see on television today. We got a lot of prophets on TV today. Got a lot of prophets in the land. They had a prophet this and prophet that. I'm not saying they're not, but let me tell you the difference in their word and what Jeremiah's word. He was a prophet too. Jeremiah did not promise that blessings was on the way. Jeremiah did not show up and say, if you sow a seed offering, the Lord's going to handle your needs. Jeremiah showed up, and this was the prophecy of Jeremiah. God is growing weary of you. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Either get right or it's going to go real wrong for you real quick. Clean up or the Lord is going to take some swift action. The Bible says when Jeremiah gave his prophecy and it was not received well, there were those who heard Jeremiah's prophecy and argued that what he had asked Israel to do was hopeless. Y'all hear this? What he had asked Israel to Israel, what he was asking, had asked and was asking Israel to do was hopeless. They have been doing wrong for so long and messed up so badly and fallen so short of the will of God that they reached a point that there was no possibility of change. Can Pastor Park here parenthetically?
Amen.
That is what the enemy does to us. When you find yourself in a repeat pattern of sin. Y'all looking at me? Y'all getting it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. I hope y'all hear me. Y'all can start the sermon over? In a repeat pattern of sin. Devil make you think it's impossible for God to help you, and he ain't never going to hear you. Because you know what's wrong when you started doing it. You keep telling God you're not going to do it, you go back doing it again. When you find yourself struggling with the same thing time and time again, the enemy creeps into your mind.
Yes, yes.
And convinces you that there's no way for you to change the habits you have formed.
That's right. Come on now.
Do you know people stay out of church because they hung out in the club last night?
Yes.
They tripping. You can't do nothing to get yourself right.
That's right.
You can't do nothing to straighten yourself up. I hear people say all the time, I look at them like, you ain't got no Bible in you. Okay. You just been church, but you ain't been reading nothing. I get it right. The Bible, God in the Bible, in the Bible says, come as you are. With your tight dress on, short mini skirt, ain't nobody gonna say nothing to you when you're with it. With your baggy pants, drunk, high, come to God. The world got a mixed up, screwed up, twisted image of what the church should be like. That's why you got people hopping from church to church. They trying to find a perfect church. Sister Moffitt, when they find a perfect church, it ain't perfect no more. You know why? Because they showed up. Think about that. This. The church, I say to you, the church is a Holy Ghost hospital where sick people are supposed to come and get well. We ain't perfect, we just forgiven.
That's right.
That's the only difference in the world. God forgives. He said, I give you new mercies each and every day. But if you ain't got no intercessor to go to, who you think you are? You can't get yourself right.
Yeah.
On your best day, you screw everything up. I'm saying you because I realize. I'm always praying.
Amen.
I got to pray. Yeah. So I control my mouth because sometimes some people and things make me mad.
Amen.
I just ain't got that right yet. You get me mad. I just learned how to let the spirit man take control.
All right.
Just because I don't say nothing don't mean I don't get mad.
That's right.
Especially when you talking out of your mouth crazy.
That's right.
Amen.
What you say? You're doing the same thing time and time again. Devil creeping into your mind. What he convinces you is this. Watch the devil now. There's no way for you to change the habits you have formed. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met people that instead of changing, they're trying to cope?
All right.
Instead of changing, they're trying to cope with it. When you try to cope, that means you're trying to accept it. You're trying to live with it.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all feeling it?
Yes.
Instead of trying to be delivered, they're trying to balance it. Oh, I know I got this bad habit, I shouldn't have it, but I balance it with my real life, and I'm trying to make sure it don't make me look out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to get rid of it in their life, they're trying to cover it up in their life. You only can cover it up for so long.
Amen. Praise him.
We got some functioning addicts in our society.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about drugs.
Amen. All right.
Whatever you're addicted to,
amen,
you're functioning with it. You're a functioning addict. Some people are alcoholics and drug addicts. You would never tell it because they know that they got a balance going. They got good at it. But only for so long.
Yes.
Because the devil, every now and again, he just like us. He got power, a lot of power. But he raggedy in his ways. Sooner or later, he gonna mess up and he gonna reveal you. Look how many times you done cried and went to the altar only to find yourself back in the same situation. Look how many times you told God, if you bring me out this time, God, but you find yourself back in it again. There's a hopelessness that exists in Judah. And when God realizes, watch God, he's so good. When God realized, I love this thing, when God realized that his children have become hopeless in the possibility of change, he says to Jeremiah,
come on now.
God always says some word to you.
Come on.
We might be so thick-headed that we ain't trying to listen to God. You know, we need to slow our road down sometimes.
Yes.
Slow yourself down. Get out of yourself. Sit yourself down and meditate on God's word. No, don't meditate over Dr. Phil and none of that stuff. Dr. Oz, I'm talking about God's word.
Yes.
Allow his spirit to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say something if you listen. God's trying to save you. But you're so into self.
All right.
You're so stuck on self, you can't even get past yourself.
Amen. Praise his name. Say it.
He says to Jeremiah, I need to show you something, Jeremiah. Meet me at the potter's house.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah goes down, Sister Phil, to the home of a potter.
Wow.
And when he walks in, the man is making something on the pottery wheel.
Yes, yes.
And it is in his hands.
Walk
with us.
I'm
not going to keep y'all on the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that Jeremiah notices that whatever a man is making is marred. It has some flaws in it.
Right.
It is not turned out how it should be. This potter who has the hands on this clay, the Bible says when he notices that it is marred, flawed, imperfect, got some messed up ways.
Come on now.
The potter makes it again. Into a vessel that seemed good to the potter.
Yeah.
Here we go, right? Once y'all get this word, it's going to be a rayon. The Bible said the vessel that he made of clay was marred. So he made it again.
Uh-huh.
Can I hang out right there in the sight before I go to my seat?
Come on now.
How late on your electronic devices? The word again. If your Bible is yours, if it's your Bible, highlight in that thing the word again.
Mm-hmm.
There are two meanings for the word again in the Hebrew. One means to recreate.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
The other means to repair.
All right.
Stay with me, y'all. The word again that shows up in verse 4 in this context. It's not the word recreate, but it's the word repair.
Come on now. Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
So the potter has clay that is marred in his hands.
Uh-huh.
And he sees that it is not what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
He does not recreate it.
Come on now.
All he has to do is repair it.
Yes, yes, yes.
For those of you that have not figured out the difference between a recreation and a repair, it's simple.
Uh-huh.
The level of effort it takes on behalf of the one who is doing the work to change what needs to be changed is so little when he decides to repair it rather than recreate it. Watch this. So the emphasis really is not on you. The emphasis is on the potter.
Come on, Pastor.
Jeremiah sees and says, listen, all this need is a repair.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tune-up. Just a little fixing.
Yeah.
What looks like a major thing to you is not a major thing for me, God said. All I have to do is tweak you a little bit. Let redo you.
Yes.
Not recreate you.
Mm.
All I have to do, Larry, here you go, is put my hand on you.
Yes. Come on. That's it. Praise his name.
Even though it looks bad to you, it is not that bad to me. I can repair because it's not a major thing for the Lord.
Amen.
Here's what you need to hold on to that. The devil has a way of making you think all hope is gone. The devil has a way of making you think that there's no other chances, that you're messed up so bad that the rest of your life should be hopeless. Your mistake will haunt you for the rest of your days. Devil is a lie. That you will be defined. This will, and the world want to do this to you. You can do one thing and mess up and have a weak moment or just screw up because you're human. They want to find you. It can be 30 years down the road. Here they go again, telling you, they call you for what you did 30 years ago. Get over it. You need to get over yourself.
Yes.
God told me if it was left up to you, it would have to be recreated. But if you allow me to keep my hand on it, it just takes a touch from the Lord. To fix what is broke down, to change that which looks hopeless.
Yes.
In the hands of God, nothing is impossible.
Yes. Nothing.
God said, let me keep my hand on it.
Yes.
Let me work my work on it.
Yes.
Give me the time to make it again another. Y'all know what I mean? God said, I'm able, y'all, to fix what hurts.
That's right. That's right.
I'm able to change what convicted you. I'm able to heal what is holding you back.
Uh-huh.
He said, all you have to do is let God keep his hand on it.
Yes.
I thought I was finished with the sermon that needed. And I said, that's it, this first Sunday, I ain't got to preach that long. They're going to get this and we're going to leave. It's Super Bowl. I said, but God said, hold on, just wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
He said, look at the text.
Come on now.
He said, there's another word in there I want you to tell them about. I said, what's the word? Well, I said, Tracy, she said, the word is marred. That lets you know that I'm a God with a dirty hand.
Yes.
Can I get a
yes.
I said, God, but why you allow your hand to get dirty? He said, I didn't allow my hand to get dirty. He said, I'm the kind of God that I get down in the mess with you.
Come on now.
He said, I don't have to wait for you to get yourself right. He said, you messy, low down and dirty. He said, I can get right in your mess. He said, your sin won't touch me, or my blood or tears clean you up. Can I get a witness in here? God said, that ain't your shout there, preacher. He said, I put my hands on you for a reason. And I being my human self, because I want to go to bed now. I'm sleepy. I've been up all night, Latanya. I'm trying to get done with this mess. He said, I put my hand on you for a reason. Before I put my hand on you, I knew you were dirty. I said, well, why, God, didn't you just clean me up? And then perchance he said, because I'm the kind of God, watch this now. He said, I can see what I created for you to be.
Yes, yes.
Why you look raggedy and messed up? I knew what I created you. When you were in the belly of your mother, I formed you.
Yes.
I'm looking at what you can become, not what you are right now. So I'm willing and able to put my hands on your filthy, dirty, raggedy stuff, because I know I got to work on you. Don't let the devil make you think that it's a hopeless situation. Because guess what? Our God is a patient God. Nobody old cliche that we need to learn how to wait on God. Can I get a witness in here? They said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Are y'all hearing me? They'll run and not get weary, walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I hear some old mother told me say, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. But Deacon Drake, that's not what I got from the text. The Bible told me that God was working at the wheel on me, and he saw that I was marred. He said, I'm not going to recreate him. I'm going to repair him. It takes a while to do some repair. Y'all ain't feeling it. So that taught me
believe this, that God is a long-suffering God. The Bible tells me that I need to learn how to be patient. But I thank God that God is patient with me. Because if God weren't patient with us, He'll wipe us off the mat. I thank God that He's a God that can wait a little while for me to get my mess together.
That backed up my topic. God won't take His hand off us because He sees the best in us. When everybody else has kicked us to the curb, God said, I'm not through with you yet. When everyone has rolled a stone on us and ran us off a dead, God said, roll the stone away. He said, I'm never going to take my hand off you. I know what I created. It belonged to me. I don't throw away nothing that I've created. And I don't create no junk.